You have your Bibles. I invite you to be turning to the book of Proverbs in the third chapter. That'll be the first scripture that we make reference to this evening. I join in expressing our appreciation for the presence of each of you. Those that are visiting, we appreciate greatly your presence. I want you to feel welcomed. I want you to enjoy the worship and to participate in that. And I hope, as your speaker, that I can say things that will remind you of God's will or instruct you in God's will for us. And I hope that the evening will be profitable. I would remind you of Union Road having their series, Developing Godly Leaders. Brother Max Dawson will be speaking Tuesday night there, and the time is from 7 to 8:30. And that's a leadership class for men, so remember that, you men. And then also White Oak this coming Tuesday at 7 o'clock, and Brother Robert Archer will be doing the speaking this week. Then next week, Reagan will be in White Oak. When I began to preach, I was fortunate to know and have contact with some very good preachers. Brother Ed Dye had married Bev and I, and we remained friends through the years, and he helped me greatly as I was learning to preach. Another one of the brethren that was in the area and had a lot of influence on me was Brother Eugene Britnell. I remember particularly Brother Britnell used to say that I would discover that every time that I preached, there was really three sermons involved. There was the sermon that you were preparing, the sermon that you preached, and then the sermon that you wished you'd preached. Maybe that's a little bit of an exaggeration in as much as that doesn't happen every time. But it is true that you see a passage and you think this will do be a good lesson on some subject, but as you study that passage, you realize that that passage isn't teaching what you thought, or maybe you see something more valuable in the passage and you deem that that's better than preaching what you had thought at first. And there are times when you preach and you step down and you just think, well, that didn't go the way that I wanted it to. You feel like maybe you didn't do your best, or you feel like maybe it didn't accomplish what you wanted to accomplish. And that's kind of the way that I felt last Sunday evening. I will tell you that we talked about the subject last Sunday, problems have answers. And I think everything that I said was true. And I don't know of anything in the lesson that wasn't true. And I would tell you that many of you responded in a good way and spoke encouraging words. But I'm fearful that some may have had problems and they left feeling like their situation wasn't addressed. And here's why. As I mentioned, I entitled the lesson, Problem Have Answers, and that may have promised too much. Some may have come with problems and they thought, I'm going to come with a problem and I'm going to leave without a problem. And yet when they left, they still had their problem, and hence they were kind of discouraged. And if that was your case, then I apologize. I certainly didn't seek to build you up simply to tear you down. One of the main points of the lesson last week was to show that a lot of our problems come because we ignore the word of the Lord. And we cause problems when we commit sins. But you and I know that all of our problems are not the result of sins that we ourselves commit. Some problems occur because of sins that other people commit. And we can't stop them from sinning. And sometimes the problem occurs not as a result of our sin or particularly anyone else's sin, but it's just that we live in a sin-cursed world. And I don't know if the reasons that we cited covers all of the problems that we still face, even those things. Now, we acknowledged some of this last week. You may remember that I shared with you the prayer of serenity in which it says, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So the bottom line is, I want us to talk about problems again, and the first thing I want to do is to change the title. And instead of telling you that problems have answers, let me just entitle it Dealing with Problems. And we'll talk about avoiding problems, solving them, and enduring them. And we'll spend some time this evening talking about enduring those problems that maybe we didn't cause by sin, and maybe somebody else even didn't cause them. The second thing that I want to do, and I didn't do last week, is I want us to define the word problem. Merriam-Webster says that problem is something that is difficult to deal with, something that is a source of trouble, worry, etc. And then they give some examples. They talk about racism and sexism as being major problems. And then they talk about financial problems and chronic health problems. They give these as illustrations of what are problems. I would add to the list, I would say that oftentimes that we face people problems. I think one of my favorite cartoons was the picture of this little girl walking in the house after school and slamming the door and throwing her bookcase down, walking to her room and slamming the door. Her dad was watching all of this, so he went to the door and knocked on it and said, is there a problem? And she said, yes, people are the problem. And so he said, well, can I come in? And she said, no, you're people too. A lot of times we have people problems. But not only that, I would suggest there are marital problems also, and that there are lots of these in the world, and so that certainly classifies as problems. I still want to suggest to you that one of the main keys in whether we're talking about avoiding problems, solving problems, or enduring problems is still that we need to trust and follow the Lord's instructions. If you have your Bibles open to the book of Proverbs in the third chapter, listen as we begin reading in verse 5. Proverbs 3 in verse 5. The writer says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. I notice a couple of things about that passage. First of all, you hear him say, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And so you're going to put all of your trust in the Lord. You're not going to doubt him. He says, lean not upon your own understanding. Now, he doesn't mean by that we're not to use our minds at all when we study the Scriptures. You remember the passage as well as I do in Isaiah when he says, come, let us reason together. Or you remember how that in Acts 17 and 18, it would talk about how that Paul would come into a city and he would reason with them about Christ and how that he had to suffer and die and be raised from the dead. So he's not talking about us not using our minds, but what he is saying is, trust the Lord. Don't think that your ways are better than His ways. And when you have to choose between your way and His way, don't choose your way, but rather choose His way. And this is evident from the next part when he says, in all your ways acknowledge Him. And He says, and He shall direct your path. Again, I want to suggest to you that He is telling us that in all of our doings, we need to look to Him for guidance. And I would remind you again that a lot of our problems come about because we ignore what God said. We mentioned last week the reason why it is that we should listen to God. And Reagan had a good lesson about that this morning and why we should obey Him. But He is our Creator. Genesis 1 and verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and earth. And verse 26, that He is the one that created man. He is the one that invented the family, if you would. And by putting people here, He is the inventor of society. And He knows what is best for man and what is best for woman, what is best for the family, what is best for society. And we're just better off when we realize that His way is better than our way, and that His way is always the right way and the good way, and we just submit to that. Let me see if I can illustrate from the book of Proverbs itself how that we can see that by obeying His word, we can avoid problems, and how that if we don't listen to His words, we're going to have problems. Look, if you would, to the book of Proverbs and the 23rd chapter, and look at verse 29. Proverbs 23 and verse 29. The writer says, who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Now here's a person that's got problems. He's got sorrow, he's got contentions, he's got complaints, he's got wounds. But where did they come from? He says, it's he who has those who linger long at the wine. Those who go in search of mixed wine. Do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. At the last, it bites like a serpent. When I was growing up, I remember that my dad had a friend. He worked with Dad, I guess, in some way. Dad was at that time a body and fender man, and this man worked at the place where Dad worked, but he did retreads for tires. But I remember that ever so often the phone would ring and it would be this other man's wife calling Dad and telling her how that her husband was in problems or having problems because he was a drinker. And Dad would go and help him. I remember how that this man decided that he would establish his own business, and he did so, and then lost that business because he was drinking. And then lost his wife because of this problem. But they were self-inflicted. And had he recognized the problems of alcohol, he could have avoided these problems. It was something he could have avoided had he just listened to the word of the Lord. Not only that, but look over, if you would, to the book of Proverbs and the 6th chapter. And look at verse 9 through verse 11. How long will you slumber, O shepherd? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come to you like a prowler, and your needs like an armed man. Now we understand that there are other reasons for man having financial problems. But here's a passage that says, if you're a sluggard, and you don't get up and work, and you just want to stay in the bed and sleep or whatever, he's saying you're going to have problems. That's going to be the way that it is. And so here's a passage that if we're wise enough to say, okay, I'll follow God's word, we might miss that because we won't fall victim to that. And then look at one other passage or so, if you would. Look over to the book of Proverbs and the 5th chapter and begin reading in verse 15. The writer said, drink water from your own cistern and running water from your own well.
Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets? Let them be only your own and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth, as a loving deer and a graceful doe. Let her breast satisfy you at all times, and always be enraptured with her love. For why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman, and embrace the arms of the seductress? For the way of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his path. His own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he is caught in the cords of his sins. He shall die for lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. Now he's talking in figurative language about the sexual conducts of men, but he's telling us there are people that have problems because they ignore his laws and they go after other women. And notice particularly what he said in verse 22. His own iniquities entrap the wicked man. Here's a man that is having problems. He has some problems, and the reason is because he's ignored God's laws about husbands and wives and what God tells us about those things. One other passage along the same line, look over to Proverbs, the 6th chapter. Look down to verse 32. Whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his own soul. Wounds and dishonor he shall get, and his reproach will not be wiped away, for jealousy is a husband's fury. Therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will accept no recompense, nor will he be appeased, though you give him many gifts. He's telling it, here's the problem. If you don't listen to me, you're liable to end up with wounds and various other things, he says. And then furthermore, there's going to be a husband that's seeking vengeance after you. It's easy to see how that we can avoid these things if we follow the will of the Lord oftentimes. You're not pursuing somebody else's wife. You're not going to have some jealous husband trying to get vengeance on you. That's his teachings in these things. The consequences of sin may cause us problems. But at the same time, let me tell you that it's not just the earthly consequences. If we're committing sin, that affects our eternal soul. And that's a bigger problem, because the wages of sin is death. And so hear me. If you're involved in a problem that is caused by your sin, the very first thing you need to do is to repent. Turn around and get out of the sin. I don't remember which book it was, and I've heard it several times. But somebody said if you're in a hole and you want to get out, the first thing you do is stop digging. Well, if you're in sin and that's causing you problems, and it's causing you a spiritual problem, if nothing else, then the first thing you need to do is to repent. Have a change of heart, a change of mind, and seek to do right, and also seek for forgiveness. Now, repentance can always bring forgiveness of sins, which we mentioned last week. Guilt is sometimes a very hard problem to deal with, but forgiveness or repentance can always bring forgiveness, but it doesn't always rid us of the consequences. And we may have to learn to endure those things sometimes. So listen to me. Be smart. And young people, at least especially, listen for a moment. Be smart. Gain wisdom from God's Word. I wrote an article a long time ago called Attending the School of Hard Knocks. And it points out that we learn sometimes from our unpleasant experiences, and we call that the School of Hard Knocks. And most of us have learned some lessons about life from this school. And perhaps there's some lessons that's the only way we're going to learn them. And Mark Twain once told about a man who grabbed a cat by the tail and said he learned 40% more about cats than the man who didn't grab a cat by the tail. But the point being, maybe if we sin and we repent of it, we learn from that and we don't do it again. But we don't have to go and sin before we can learn.
Right.
You can even learn by watching somebody else's mistake. And better than that, you can learn just from the word of the Lord. You can trust the Lord and the things that He says. And when He says immorality is not good for you, when He says drinking is not good for you, when He talks about you need to be working, you don't have to go out and try it and find out whether or not He's right in those things by participating in them. Just know that He is right and then avoid these things. Avoid problems by just doing what God says do. And if you find yourself in a problem where you have sinned, then the first thing to do is to repent. But let's go back now and let's talk more about the problems that we didn't cause. Now some of these, the ones that we've talked about, maybe I've brought upon myself or somebody's brought upon themselves because of their sins. But we've said it's possible that people encounter problems and it's not because of their sins. Maybe it's the cause of somebody else's sin. Maybe it's no one's sin. Maybe it's just because we live here on this earth. So let me suggest to you some things that we need to remember. First of all, let me suggest to you, do not react sinfully to the problem. There are lots of times that people have a problem that sin's not involved in to begin with, but they react in a sinful way, and thus problems get worse. And then they also are sinning. I can count numerous times in which there have been problems between brethren. And rather than dealing with them, as we suggested last week, where if I remember that some brother has something against me, I go and talk to that brother. Or if he knows I have something, or I know that I have something against him, then I go and talk to him. A lot of times what happens is we go and talk to one another. And rather than being forgiving, we become gossipers. And rather than seeking to really solve the problem, we seek revenge. Or we begin to treat a brother unkindly because we have something against him. And so the problem just gets worse and worse. And the real problem never gets fixed. The same thing about marital problems sometimes. I've seen where maybe a mate spoke harshly to another one. Maybe he did something unkind. Maybe even unintentionally that there was something that one was expecting, but it didn't come across, and so it hurt feelings. And maybe after time, one of them even recognizes that and goes to that person and says, "I did wrong. Will you forgive me?" But the mate is now upset, and they say, "No." And they start out trying to figure out how it is that they can get even with this person. And then they do something, and now they're ready to go and get forgiveness and say, "Okay, let's smooth things out." But now the other one is mad again. And so it just goes in a downward spiral. I even know of one case where a man committed adultery. And the wife went out and committed adultery to get even. That marriage is not together anymore. And I've oftentimes seen where maybe there's a problem in the home and somebody says, "Well, let's just separate." Paul writes in the book of 1 Corinthians in the 7th chapter and tells us the only reason for separation is for a short period of time and that for prayer and fasting. Problems aren't usually solved in marriage just by separating from one another. It usually is at a bad time and it just sets somebody up for temptation. Or sometimes we complicate it even more by saying, "Well, we'll just divorce." Even though fornication wasn't involved and there's no scriptural right, now we've added to that problem. And so rather than acting in a sinful way, let's make sure that we don't act in that way, that we act according to the way that God tells us to act when we come across these problems, that we initially were not the ones that started. We're not going to help them by sinning. Sinning will always cause things to be worse. But secondly, let me remind you that these problems, those that do not involve me sinning, these do not affect our eternal destiny. The only thing that can keep you out of heaven is sin. Either that the problem is caused by your sin and you're not repenting of it, or you have reacted in a sinful way and refused to repent of it. And I like the passage that Reagan used this morning that reminds us in Romans the 8th chapter and verse 18 that whatever it is that we undergo in this world is not worthy to be compared to the glory that we'll receive in the world to come. And so we just need to keep heaven before us as we go through these problems and remember that whatever it is, that it's not worthy to be compared to the problems or to the glory of heaven. Maybe kind of close to that is that these problems that we face in this world are temporary. Look over, if you would, to the book of 2 Corinthians in the 4th chapter and begin reading with me in verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4 in verse 16. Paul said, "Therefore we do not lose heart." He was undergoing problems and mentioning problems. But he says, we don't lose heart. We don't become so discouraged that we're going to give up. Listen to what he says. He says, we don't lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceedingly and eternal weight. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, while the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. These things, whatever they are, will pass when this world is over. I remember reading one time, it was a bulletin article, I think, where some man had gone through all kind of problems, and somebody asked him, well, how is it that you can still have a good disposition and that you still rejoice? And he put his finger on a passage in the Bible. It was this too, and this past was what it was. It was taken out of context, but nevertheless, he understood this will pass. And that's what we need to understand, that eventually these things will pass. They do not affect our eternal life and our eternal home, and they will pass. Also, we have every right to cast our cares upon the Lord. For a long time, 1 Peter 5 and verse 7 has been one of my favorite passages where Peter is saying, casting all your cares upon the Lord, for He careth for you. Now, when we cast our cares upon the Lord, we need to remember that we are to trust Him. We need to remember that He is our God, that He loves us, that He cares for us, and that He is going to do things that are good for us. Even if we don't see how it can be good even now, we still need to remember that we trust Him and that we oftentimes pray, not my will, but thy will be done, which is to say we will submit to whatever it is that you have in mind. And if we go to Him and we cast our cares upon Him and the problem is not gone, then we just need to learn to endure these things. I don't care how often you go to the Lord, as long as if you're not violating the laws of the Lord, you can keep casting it to Him as long as you see fit and as long as you haven't determined that He's answering your prayers. But cast your cares to the Lord and trust Him on these things. I want to suggest to you that we let our problems make us better and not bitter. I want you to turn, if you would, to the book of James in the 1st chapter. And listen to chapter 1 and verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Now, we may have some discussion about whether this is temptation or trial, but either way, it is a testing of our faith. And he says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. So he tells us that we need to understand that sometimes we undergo trials, we undergo problems, and that these things will help us to be better. I think when you look to the book of 2 Corinthians in the 12th chapter, and we did mention this passage last week in passing, that you see Paul had this attitude. He, in verse 7, said he was talking about how that he had been lifted up to the third heaven, and then he talks about, lest I should be exalted, in verse 7, above measure, by the abundance of revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for me, or for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, I am strong. Now, somehow, the Lord got across to him when he had prayed the third time that I am answering your prayers. I don't know that that means we can pray three times and no more. But when we understand these things, and while we're going through these, if he hasn't given us deliverance, then we need to understand that we are to rely upon the Lord. And we should be like Paul. We should be made to rejoice that we recognize that God is strong and we are weak, and if it keeps us leaning on God, then that's a good thing. And so let it make us better instead of bitter. Too many times people become bitter. I'm reminded even of the psalmist in Psalm 78, how that he watched other people prosper while he himself were undergoing trials. And he began to think, does it profit me nothing to serve the Lord? I look at these people and they do so good and they're wicked, but then here I am trying to do what's right and I'm suffering. And he said, I almost slipped. We've got to make sure we don't slip. We need to understand that we look to the end as the psalmist did and understand those people will pay the price in the end. And God will reward us in the end. We just have to be patient in these things. And that's the next point. We need to be patient and endure these things. Look back again, if you would, to the book of James in the 5th chapter. And notice what James says in chapter 5 and verse 10. He said, my brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. They suffered, but he said they had patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. And so here you have him saying, we need to learn to be patient, which means just you don't give up. I've said we oftentimes use the word patient to mean long-suffering, really. And we think of somebody that don't blow up. But in the Scriptures, patience usually carries with it the idea of don't give up. And he's saying, don't throw up your hands. No matter what you're going through, even if you should be suffering like the prophets, or if you're suffering like Job, you bear under it. Don't give up. Don't let go of that hope of eternal life and give up what you have in eternal life because of the problems that you're going through now. And he says, you see what God did for Job. How do we know that just around the bend there's not even something on this world better for us? But even if it's not in this world, then in the world to come. But you do see what the Lord's attitude is, that he's very compassionate and merciful. even if there's some reason he's not removing the problem, it is still something that he cares about. And he cares about you. We need also to remember to call upon the brethren for help. The writer Paul, in writing to the Galatians, said, "Bear ye one another's burdens." And we need to be willing to help those that have problems. And those who have problems need to be willing to let us know about their problems sometimes. I understand that we don't want to air all of our problems to everyone. But sometimes there are people that are willing to help and want to help. They just don't know how to help or what to do. But you could tell them, and they would be more than willing to help. Even think about what we were talking about in Louisiana. How would we know that had not somebody sent out an email and told us about these brothers and sisters in Christ that have problems? But having heard about it, we can respond. And so also in our problems. My prayer is that you can avoid the problems that are caused as a result of your sinning. That is, that you'll not sin and you'll avoid those. And I would pray that you even escape those that are painful and unnecessary. But I would pray that you would endure those that are necessary, that you wait on the Lord, and that you use those problems to glorify His great and holy name. I will tell you that I have had people in my office with problems. And I wish I could just wave a magic wand and get rid of them. But we can endure and must endure while casting our cares and our problems upon the Lord. I thank you for allowing me to try again. There's another story I'll tell you. Brother Harry Pickup Jr. told me one time, he preached a sermon Sunday morning. He said, "I came back that night and I told the brethren," he said, "you may think I'm crazy, but I didn't like the way that sermon went this morning. So we're going to do it again." And he started preaching the same sermon. He said about halfway through, he said, "This is worse than it was this morning. So let's close the books and sing the invitation song." But we made it through it anyway, I think. If there's sin in your life, you've got a problem in your life. It's going to condemn you to hell if you don't get rid of the problem of sin. And it may be causing you other problems. It may be the source of the problem. But you can get rid of all of that sin. You can get rid of the guilt that goes with that sin simply by repenting of your sin, complying with the laws that God has given. If you haven't come to Christ, come to Him and put Him on in baptism, washing away your sins. If you've done that but not lived faithfully, then come repenting of your sins and praying for forgiveness, and He'll forgive you. You're subject to the invitation in any way. We invite you to come.